The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Planet Gridiron, where football lives. With your host, Damian Anderson.
Welcome to Planet Gridiron. We have a lot to talk about. We got the NFL Draft, 2010 NFL Draft just passed up. We are blessed to be in studio with a local, I say he's going to be internationally known, but he's local Phoenix artist right now, the Judge.
Yeah. How y'all doing, man?
So Judge, what do you got? Did you watch the draft? Do you know what's going on?
Nah, I had to do a couple things.
Couple things. Well, we got the judge in the attorney.
What's up?
The man that knows everything. Our own know-it-all Mel Kiper Jr. in here. David Lockhart. So Dave, what was your overall interpretation of the draft today?
Top heavy. We kind of knew what was going to happen. What I mean by that, 1 through 5, pretty much consistent with what we thought. But there was a lot of trades, and there were, without a doubt, surprises and shocks, especially with the 25th pick, if you know what I mean.
Okay, great. Okay, Tim Tebow, he was obviously a huge surprise for a lot of people.
I mean, correct.
Passed up over Jimmy Clausen. I mean, kind of like the first five, we kind of knew what was going to happen in that.
Right.
But Tim Tebow, to go where they have Brady Quinn, you know, where they, I mean, it wasn't even Tim Tebow so much. It was even the pick before that. You passed up Dez Bryant and Golden Tate.
Right, you took Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, you know, that's your area, so I know you're probably going to give him a little bit of love. I mean, Georgia's your area, so I understand that. But this dude came from an option offense.
Yep, wishbone.
And Golden Tate's probably one of the most electric receivers after the catch.
Got to agree.
And you got to pass up Dez Bryant, who is touted the next Andre Johnson.
Right.
For who? For what?
They took Demaryius Thomas.
Can you explain that pick for me?
They call him Bebe. I can't explain it, but I don't understand why you would have taken him. Now, if you're going to say size, or you're looking for someone that models maybe Brandon Marshall, who you already left, okay. But if you're going to do that, then why not Dez Bryant? Mm-hmm. And if we're going to talk about character, we're going to talk about questionable backgrounds, then you also have to look at Demaryius' background as well. Many people might not know this, but at the age of 12, both his mother and grandmother were sent to federal prison for running a cocaine ring.
Damn.
Right. Grandma got 40.
Right.
And mom got 20 years. They're currently in custody now.
So they were good at what they did.
Oh, yeah. They were slanging. They were slanging. They moved bribes like weight. Okay. Right. So you know what they were getting into.
And I guarantee you, Todd McShay or Mel Kiper didn't have that information.
Nobody said anything about it.
I guarantee you.
They could talk.
But Dave Lockhart did, though.
Here you go.
I guarantee you.
I like Demaryius Thomas from what I've seen for the past 3 years. But right. The problem we have, and you and I talked about this, when you have an individual that plays in a wishbone offense, or not going to call it wishbone, an option offense.
Well, the receivers are highlighted.
The receivers, you're going to average a lot of yards per catch because you have 8 people in the box, so you're playing man-to-man.
Mm-hmm.
And the routes that he generally ran, if you look at some of his film, is going to be deep curl, and he runs the go route. Now, he's a physical specimen, and he's very fast, so he's going to be able to dominate on the collegiate level. But if he relied, which he did, most on athletic ability, he's going to have some issues when he moves into the NFL because running the NFL route tree was a lot different than what he did when he was at Georgia Tech.
But, I mean, for some reason, it's just, I mean, don't get me wrong, Josh McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator. He's learned from a lot of the greats. But this right here, to me, was career suicide.
I agree. I think a lot of the steps that he has taken, to me, has not made sense. Jay Cutler, that did not make sense.
At all.
Tony Scheffler at tight end, that did not make sense.
You're not going to make everybody happy. That's what the coaches need to realize. And so are the players. Man, you'll get paid when you get paid.
Right.
And that's, you can kick footballs all you want to. You're still on my team.
Absolutely. But it's the way you go about saying that as well.
Right. You're right.
Absolutely. Okay, because people want to play for Bill Parcells, who essentially takes the same stance.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that it seems that he has so many problems with the star upper echelon players on his team?
No, but I didn't get that. I don't get that interpretation from Bill Parcells. I get the
Not Parcells. No, I'm talking about McDaniels.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about Josh Daniels.
Okay, because I get the Bill Parcells, and you could jump in anytime that you want to, Judge. I mean, because I know you're affiliated with a local known celebrity here in town. You know, the Stat, Amari Stoudemire, and the Suns are doing their thing. So I know you know a lot about sports. But to me, in terms of Bill Parcells, you know what I mean? It seems like he caters to that upper echelon.
He does.
He was able to handle Lawrence Taylor and all the guys of that nature. I mean, but when it gets to, like, the lower echelon guys, it's like, you know, guys like myself that had to work their way on the team, like, he doesn't necessarily have the greatest relationship with. However, Josh McDaniels seems like he caters to that journeyman attitude, that workaholic guy, because, you know, I have personal relationships with guys on the team for the Broncos that aren't worth the money that he's paid them, but he knew them from back in the day, and he took care of them. However, now, you know, you got a Brandon Marshall, you got Jay Cutler, you get away with your two best players. And I heard some people say, oh, you got Brian Dawkins and Tim Tebow, and he got the two of the best leaders in the game. Sorry, bro. Tim Tebow played in the Senior Bowl, got murdered. And I don't care what you say, you could develop the best throwing accuracy in the world when nobody's coming at you 120 miles per hour, 310 pounds. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, all those variables taking the place, I thought it was a huge stretch. I thought, personally, I thought the most talented quarterback in the draft right now was Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah.
And he's yet to be picked. So, I think whoever gets him is getting a humongous value pick. And I think that people are taking away Urban Meyer's ability to manipulate defenses, because that's what he did. He got Alex Smith drafted number one overall.
Right.
And he got Tim Tebow drafted in the first round. Don't get me wrong. Tim Tebow has all the intangibles. But just like they told me when I came out, I was a great kid, went to Northwestern, did great on all the tests. But when it came down to playing football, intangibles don't mean, you know what I'm about to say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The problem is intangibles, you shouldn't let them dictate, especially when you're picking in the first round. And I think that's exactly what you did with Tim Tebow. Okay. Unless we're looking at Tim Tebow as being your first round pick for next year.
Right.
That's a way you can characterize
it. But you got Brady Quinn.
I agree.
Justify that for me.
You can't justify the pick. It makes no sense. It's a good PR move, but you know what? You're not paid for PR. You pay for wins and losses. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, he, being Tim Tebow, is not going to assist, at least this year, from the quarterback position with wins and losses. Now, he may be one hell of an H-back this year, or might be a gunner on kickoff, but it's not going to be from the quarterback position. And in my mind, he's at least two would be generous. I'd
third
say
round,
more
bro.
Like 3 to 4 years away.
He's the only person I know that had a horrible Senior Bowl.
Correct.
And worked out in front of a couple cameras and moved up.
And his draft stock increased.
How does that make sense?
I cannot understand that.
That doesn't make sense. And we're gonna postpone our draft talk, because obviously it's a huge thing going on right now. We got some great guests coming on the show. We got Ryan Terrain, former ASU graduate, as well as now with the Washington Redskins, so he can tell us about that whole, what they're trying to do up there. And we have a first round draft pick, personal friend of mine, Napoleon Harris from the Northwestern University, coming on to talk about everything that he's got going and his personal experience.
Is he from the Shy?
He is from the Shy.
Yeah, okay.
From the crib.
All right.
And we got in studio, we got to talk to my man, Judge. So, Judge, I mean, you're a local legend around these parts here in Phoenix, man.
A little bit.
So tell us about how is that, just the sports world from your standpoint. I mean, you grew up here, you see the Cardinals doing it, the Suns doing it, and, you know, even the Coyotes, you know what I'm saying?
<That's crazy.
laughs>
Yeah,
getting
man.
It done.
Got some yodelation. I mean, what does that mean for you to see Phoenix just blowing up?
Man, it's pretty cool. You know, I like a lot about Arizona. Like, I'm just Arizona everything.
Right.
You know, so I love the Cardinals. I love the Phoenix Suns. You know, fortunately, I'm in a little bit with the Phoenix Suns. So
right, yeah.
It's pretty cool. You know, Amari, Phoenix Suns, they're doing their thing. You know.
Well, and talk about that. You won a contest, I don't recall the name of it, but you won a contest. You had, I mean, we had another group on our show, Young Moguls
Young
on
Moguls,
there.
Yeah.
And he beat them. He beat Young Moguls.
He
beat Young Moguls, and you won the contest. So what was the name of the contest?
I wouldn't say I beat Young Moguls.
Man, you got the contract, man. You won. We'll say it. We'll say
man,
it.
You know,
beat them.
We're not politically correct around here.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Go for it. Yeah.
It was fun, man. I'm happy that I was blessed with the opportunity. You know?
I like that,
and,
right?
You know, so fortunately I had the stage presence, you know, the music, and you know, just everything, the fans. Everyone knew me already,
right.
You know, it was a blessing.
Oh, don't worry, you're gonna bless the show, bro. We got some guru
man.
Beats playing.
Here you go, man.
So you got to bless the show. That's just how it is, going in and out of breaks, bro. That's your opportunity to shine, man. That's your opportunity to shine. So tell us, I mean, just in terms of just sports, what does it mean for you just to see the Cardinals going from a team that was never considered anything to now? I mean, they're it. You know, they're winning the NFC West. They're doing it big. They're making things happen.
It's cool because, well, I'm from here. So, like I said, I love everything they're doing. You know, I go to some of the games, you know, so, you know what I'm saying? I like Hightower. You know, Fitzgerald is one of my favorite receivers, you know. So, you know, plus my little brother played. He played DB at ASU.
Okay.
You know, so they got a spring game tomorrow.
And you were telling me about that. Yeah. He came home and raced you one day. What happened with that?
Oh, my God, man. It was embarrassing, man. in front of the whole
family. Give your brother a shout. Give him a shout.
Yeah, his name Devron Carr, number one for ASU. Okay. You know, so.
What year is he in?
He's a sophomore, right?
All right.
So, you know, out there.
So he can run a little bit? He can run a little bit?
He messed his shoulder up, and he's working on that now. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow's their first spring game. I'm going to attend that at 2 o'clock. You know?
Okay. So, does that close out spring ball?
Huh?
That game, does it close out spring ball?
I think so, yeah.
Game?
Okay. Yeah. They scrimmage themselves.
Okay. So, okay, we got to talk to the hip-hop game. So what's on the next agenda for Judge? What are you doing right now?
Well, right now, you know, Amari's busy, you know, so, we got Travis King, he's running a label, and I was putting together a tour in the Southwest region.
Okay.
But due to the NBA moving, Amari might be going over here to Miami for a little while, you know what I'm saying? So,
all right.
He stays over there.
Yeah, I got you.
And, you know, it'll be easier for me with the music that I make is like kind of Southern, you know, so it'll be easier for us to be in the South. And make music over there and maybe get a following, you know, because it's kind of hard over here.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
And why is that? Like, I just noticed, I mean, yeah, just, I guess what your music caters to, I mean, everybody love everybody else's hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? It is from pulling from everywhere, you know, the South, you know, Chicago, playing Kanye, Luda, T.I., Jay-Z. These people are all transcending wherever they're at, you know what I'm saying? It goes beyond where they live. Why isn't Phoenix... Or what was it going to take for people to love Judge? Because, I mean, I heard you just on your phone, your iPhone, when we were at the mentoring dinner. Yeah. And I loved it. You know what I'm saying? And I know good music. What is wrong with – I wouldn't say what is wrong. What do the people in Phoenix need to look out for?
I think that, like, we need the unity. You know, everybody need to come out and support someone, you know. It's just crazy because, like, say, if Ray J was to come in town, they would break their neck to come see Ray J.
Right.
But if we're throwing an event that we come up with our own money and we start an event, you know, nobody would show up.
Why is that, you think? Is it not enough marketing going on?
Being local.
Okay.
Know?
Okay.
You know, not being a superstar, you know, it's like a bandwagon town. If somebody is on, they follow them.
Well, to some degree, could it be that Phoenix is somewhat of a transient city? It looks like you're the one that's unusual here in that you're from here.
Yeah,
everybody's from somewhere else that's from here, you know?
Okay.
Could that potentially cause, you know, some of the problems you would think with you all garnering, you know, I guess, or galvanizing and becoming more not only unified but also getting notoriety?
I don't know, man. I can't.
But that's been the first segment. We got a lot to talk about. So you're going to lead us to break?
Man, here you go, man.
Young Moguls did it.
Yeah,
Young
Moguls did it.
Blow it up.
You want to lead us to break?
What's this, the beat right here?
Yeah, this is Guru.
Oh, how you going to spit up? Okay, yeah. I got to rap over there?
Man, Dion is no. You don't have to.
We need an instrumental.
Yeah, we need an instrumental. What we gonna do?
We'll go to the break.
We got more Ryan Terrain after the break. Napoleon Harris, Planet Gridiron Radio, Dave Lockhart, The Judge, and myself, Damian Anderson. Still hold a grudge, old man Thug, about to blast you away. I'll strangle your plot
effortlessly. The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field.
Shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Hit it, hit it. Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Time for IS Outdoors on the Voice America Sports Channel. With their combined experience of 60 years in the woods, Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they are also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. IS Outdoors offers brisk interaction with the audience, soliciting opinions and questions on a wide range of outdoor subjects. Tune in every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time to the IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice of America Sports Network with your host, yours truly, Damon Anderson. We got the judge in studio, Phoenix's own, as well as the lawyer, our resident, Todd Mache or Braid Mache or whatever you want to call him. What's
the
other
Black Mache, man.
The
Black Mache. Yeah. Want
to
go with that?
Nah, we ain't even color ain't even. You just the color has nothing to do. You just great at what you do. Great friend of mine, Dave Lockhart, our resident, know everything about football, and we always talk sports. And we like to welcome to the show Ryan Terrain, an ASU graduate. He also played for the Denver Broncos. He's now with the Washington Redskins. Back with United with his coach that drafted him in the league, Mike Shanahan. Ryan, welcome to Planet Gridiron, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So a lot, you know, I just like to get another running back's perspective on things. And, you know, the zone offense, you're able to, manipulate angles, I guess is what you'd say in the zone offense. So how does it feel? You spent last year out of the league, but you're back. And all you, as they say in poker, all you need is a chip in the chair. So all you need is an opportunity. What does it feel like to be back reunited with the coach that wants you and you're playing football again?
It's an awesome feeling. You know, I'm glad to have my foot back in the door. Getting another opportunity to play football, set out for a year, just, you know, doing a lot of thinking and a lot of training, just waiting for this opportunity, and I'm excited to be back out there.
Okay. Ryan, you had to rehab, right? If I could recall, when you were with Denver, before you were released, you had an injury, am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, what exactly happened? Was that more of a bone injury, or was that something related to, like, ligaments and knees, things of that nature?
It was just a minor sprain that sidelined me for about 4 weeks.
Okay.
And it was a business decision, and I just had to take it and try to beat it, pretty much.
So you got paid then?
Got that injury settlement?
Yeah, you got that injury settlement.
But no. Yeah.
So Ryan, I mean, you're in a very, I mean, as they talk about football's competitive, so is the world, so is everything right now. I mean, it's a drought, as they say right now. So, I mean, you got a very competitive backfield in Clinton Portis, Larry Johnson, and Willie Parker. So, I mean, in yourself, and obviously the one thing that zone offense has shown that pretty much you could kind of plug those virtually unknowns, a.k.a. Terrell Davis, a.k.a. Quentin Griffin, a.k.a. Mike Anderson. You could plug these guys in there that don't necessarily do what those top draft picks can do. And, I mean, the last guy that we saw have success was Clinton Portis. But, I mean, he came in the league when I did. He's tailing off towards the end of his career. He's been eating good, gained a little bit of weight. So, you know, I mean, now we got a person, a great opportunity like you. You know, when new coaches come in and they bring guys that they like, you have a great opportunity to play. What does that feel? I mean, first off, let me rephrase the question. What does it feel like to see that you have basically three all-stars in the backfield, knowing that you have to compete against these guys?
It feels great comparing myself up to them. You know, it just puts me in perspective, and it shows me what caliber of player I am to play with the best. So it's exciting, and I'm happy to be out there working with them, learning, and you know, getting their wisdom. So I take it, you know, I take the good out of the bad, and just look forward to playing football.
And so, I mean, the draft just happened yesterday, but I mean, talk about your experience when you came into the league, and how much confidence did you have playing in the Pac-10? You know, not necessarily running a different defense, running a different offense. What did that feel like, just coming in and experiencing, you know, going into camp? What did you have butterflies? Were you nervous? What was that like?
It's just like going to college. It's just a step above. It's another level. It's going to be faster. It's going to be harder. You got to work harder. It's football, you know what I'm saying? We've been doing it for a long time, so we know how to handle ourselves on the field, and we get our opportunity, we play ball.
So what allowed, I mean, because you achieved a lot of success before you know, you had that injury. What was your mentality? How were you able to go out there and play? Because a lot of people get that stage fright and can't do it.
Oh, man, coming off all these injuries, sitting out a lot, it's hard to sit out, you know? And when you get your foot back in the door, you got that itch to just do your best and play as hard as you can. There can't be no hiccups. You can't be nervous. You can't be scared. You got to go out there and play ball.
Now, Ryan, I remember when you were coming out, you had an injury. Did you have something, a foot injury, when you came out of ASU? Is that correct?
Yeah, Liz Frank.
Yeah, you had the Liz Frank. You actually had the surgery as well, correct?
Yeah, I had surgery. It was a different type of surgery. Usually with that injury, you have to have two, but I had one. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get back my rookie season and train and do and do mini camps and get out there and, you know,
right. And what
save
I was,
my name.
What I wanted to ask you about was, do you believe that has some impact, obviously, on your preparation and how the scouts perceived you as you were coming out for the draft? I mean, I believe you got drafted in the fifth round, am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and I remember as you were preparing for the draft, or at least coming into the season, you were being highly touted. It was at least some prognosticators had you perhaps going within that second or third round. So did you believe that, again, that Liz Frank injury maybe caused some people to perhaps back off of you?
Oh, most definitely. It's a huge draft. There's a lot of awesome players. And, injury is going to slow you down, but in the long run, as long as you get that opportunity, I'm saying you're going to be all right.
I got
so
you.
It wasn't a big deal. I'm getting drafted high or low.
I got you. So and also going to the Washington system, Damien's talked to you about it. They mostly run that kind of zone running offense. Do you believe that kind of suits better your skill set as opposed to maybe just lining up and just running in the line from the straight I formation?
Oh, I feel like I'm very versatile. Whatever play coach calls, I'm going to run it to my best ability, and I'm excited. So I feel like I can do a lot of different plays.
We're here on Voice of America Sports Planet Gridiron with Ryan Terrain, ASU standout running back for the Washington Redskins. So, Ryan, what's your goal going into this camp? Obviously, it's to make the team, but what type of impact do you want to have on this ball club?
Oh, I want to have a huge impact, a positive impact. I want to be able to help the team win. Special teams, offense, sideline, whatever opportunity I got to get on that 53-man roster, and let's get some W's.
And what type? I mean, you played in the Pac-10. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, played in the Big Ten, the real conference. But
yeah, you can tell from all them draft picks you had in the first round yesterday.
Hey, it has its moments. I mean, it was a Big 12 time. That's all I'm gonna say. It was a Big 12 time. But no, I mean, what you know, you guys play with a lot of speed. I love it. It's exciting, the Pac-10 offense. How did that prepare you for your transition to the NFL?
I would say the offensive coordinator, you know, it's real similar with the defenses reading them, and then the zone offense. I jumped right back into a zone with Coach Shanahan. So I feel like it really prepared me for the next level.
Did you all have Rich Olsen as your OC?
Yes, we did, my senior year.
Right. Okay. Who was that before then? Carter, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Cutter basically called all the plays. So that's interesting, because you can hear all the fans, they seem to be quite upset with Rich Olsen, and obviously his tenure is now over and they've moved to Mazzoni. But you seem to believe that he and that offense assisted you as you transitioned into the NFL.
It most definitely did, and I'm very grateful for getting that opportunity.
No, and I play with Rich too, and I mean, although his skills, you know, weren't necessarily the best to implement, he definitely prepared players on what to do. You know what I mean? His coaching ability in terms of the information that he was giving, it was all up to par with everyone else's that I experienced, you know, throughout my college, you know, youth and professional playing career. But no, we want to thank Ryan Terrain for coming on Planet Gridiron on the Voice of America Sports Network, and man, good, definitely appreciate you coming on the show, and good luck this year.
God bless, Ryan.
Thank you,
good luck.
For having me.
All right, man. Have a great year.
You too.
So, Judge, I mean, you talked about your brother. He, you know, plays at ASU. So tell us about those days. You played football. You ran track, you know, growing up.
I ran for Do Right.
Yeah, Do Right. Both of our kids, David and my son, run against Do Right all the time. And I just say they strong.
They are. They prepare to run.
And they run it at about 3 years old out there in baggy singlets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they got the baggy
baggy outfits on.
It was fun. Yeah, back in the days, man, it was real fun when I ran track.
But why is it though? Every athlete wants to be a rapper. Every rapper wants to be an athlete. Yep.
I don't know. I can't call it.
You know what I'm saying? What is it?
I don't know. It's just probably something in the air.
What drew you personally to the game?
Rap game. I was like the seventh grade. I had a teacher named Ms. Randolph. We were writing poetry. Okay. And when we started writing poetry, you know, I had a dude named Brandon Scroggins. He was a rapper already, so he was like, "Man, you need to rap."
Okay.
So I was like, "All right, I tried it." He showed me.
You were hearing that iambic pentameter.
Yeah. So
at a young age,
and I had been doing it since then. So that was even while I was playing football and running track, you know.
We talk about trials and tribulations always on here, and you and I briefly spoke when we were at the mentoring, dinner spotlight, and you said, you know, before I wasn't ready. You know, and talk about that. Now you're ready. You said that I could just tell by your demeanor that I've matured. I've just saw how you associated with your friends and stuff like that, and you were that leadership type. Yeah. And you said before in your past you weren't ready. So now what has prepared you to make that transition to basically blow up?
Well, just like growing up where I grew up from is like a wild area. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just look at all my friends and the things that happened in the past, like, year, 2 years.
Okay.
I'm a grown man now. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't keep playing with life. You know, you only get one chance to live. So it's time for me to try to be successful, you know, and try to do something different with my life. So now I'm more ready and I'm more mentally focused on what's going on, you know. So
gotcha. I'm talking about mentally focused. We about to hear them lyrics, bro. I got the engineer ready. So
instrumentals.
We got you.
I don't even need instrumental, man. I'll go without it.
We want to hear Judge. And Judge, just while we got you, how can people get in touch with you? Like, how can they hear your music? How can they get a hold of you?
They can go to my MySpace, myspace.com/AZILLA, Judge, Azilla Judge. Or you can go to hypocalypto.com, hypocalypto.com. And I got the mixtape on there. It's called The Chosen One.
Okay.
And then on my MySpace, I got a couple mixtape tracks. And I got some actual original tracks on my MySpace.
Cool. So we definitely going to check that out, bro. So that's going to be popping. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm going to this break, though. So I feel
you put
blessed.
Him on the spot. Let's
put
go.
Put him on the spot. Oh, you got to be able to do it. He's an entertainer.
Exactly.
You're entertaining. You got to do it, bro.
Come off the top of the dome.
Dave, I can't wait. We got Napoleon Harris coming up after the break.
Okay.
And he's going to talk to us about his whole draft experience and everything else. But first, we got, ladies and gentlemen, the judge.
Here come the judge.
Here come the judge.
Yeah. Look. Check it, I'm about to rock this mic, no homo. Tatted on the stomach with the Azilla logo. Yeah, y'all know the kid like the wind. You can't see me like a phone, put your contacts in. Man, I tell the bro at the back bend, trying to chill while me and Stat in the Maybach Benz. Look, you knew your boy way back when, but things a little different now the kid stack ends. Snowflakes on my neck, no dandruff. Y'all know the boy like the flash, no camera. And number two, my money tall. What I'ma buy tomorrow. But number one, I like the ball. Start tomorrow. The flow hot, Mr. Frying Pan. Pilot, I'm hella flying, I ain't gotta land. Yeah, they know I got flight mileage. And baby, I'm the best with no DJ Khaled. I teach game, son, listen. I show you how to ball, got you shook off the pivot. Dig it, the streets is hot, but that's a given. My feet is on the ground, I treat the shoes like mittens. Jizzle, I need money for the new splurge. I make all these girls flip, no U-turn. I hustle hard, collect
all That's enough.
It's burning up.
Planet Gridiron Radio. Voice America Sports Network. That's how we do everything sports and a little more. Back after the break.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. Hicklin is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. Hicklin is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
And if you didn't witness the judge blessing Planet Gridiron Radio, you could always pick us up on voiceamericasports.com/planetgridiron as well as podcast on iTunes. So we'd like to welcome to the show a personal, you know, I'm a fan favorite. He was a teammate of mine, one of the sickest, most gifted athletes I've ever seen. Is that a word?
Yeah. In the Voice America world, we'll count it as a word. Okay.
I'd like to thank Napoleon Harris for the show. Napo, how you doing, man?
What's going on, DA?
So Paul, I mean, your experience, I mean, you were first round. We don't get many first round draft picks coming out of Northwestern, but you were first round draft pick. You played college basketball. I mean, you could play basically baseball, anything that you want to do, you were good at. I mean, talk about your experience in the draft, what all those guys were going through yesterday.
Well, man, this is definitely an exciting time in your life. You know, it's a lot of anxiety, a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. But just a lot of uncertainty altogether. But nevertheless, man, it's a good time. I just remember back when it was time for me to get drafted, just sitting there just waiting on your next challenge. You know, you're glad and you're excited that you're about to go to the NFL and have an opportunity to play with the best of the best. But at the same time, you're just like, oh, man, what city I'm going to be in? Who's going to be my coach? What kind of defense? How's my coach going to be? How my teammates going to be? You know, so it's just a whole uneasy feeling of uncertainty and then just stress as well. You know, you're preparing, you're getting ready, you're working out, and it's almost like every guy that's getting drafted, they've been always at the top, you know, throughout Pop Warner, high school, college, and now it's an opportunity where if you don't get drafted where the experts say you're going to go, it's almost like you failed.
But a lot of different emotions.
But
you didn't fail, bro.
You went first round.
But even great to that, I mean, they talk about these linebackers being these hybrids, you know, going up from a DN to a linebacker in the NFL. And you didn't necessarily go to an outside linebacker. You went to a middle linebacker. You know what I mean? And that's something that, you know, obviously I experienced that you never played before. But what skill level, what allowed you to make that transition and be successful at that? Because your first year, you guys made it to the Super Bowl.
Well, I think it's just a combination. I think of just studying hard in the playbook as well as being versatile. I think most football players can be versatile. It's almost like as being a running back, if you're a cutback runner versus just a downhill runner, I think no matter what type of runner you are as a football player, as a running back, you're going to adapt to the situation. I think that's just what I had to do as making my transition from college to pro. I never played middle linebacker, but at the end of the day, linebacker, your job is to tackle the guy with the ball, no matter if you line up in the middle or outside.
Hey, Napoleon, this is David Lockhart. Your buddy D.A. was kind enough to let me kind of join the show here.
Always.
So I wanted to give you a shout-out. Hey, your transition, you already said it. You didn't play middle linebacker. Was the system necessitated your move to the middle linebacker position, or why is it that they told you, at least, that they felt it necessary for you to move from a position where obviously you were very comfortable and had been drafted, at least, at that position, now moving to the middle?
Well, I think it's a combination of scheme. What's going to be asked of you based on what the team feels that you can do, your skill set. I mean, for me, coming out, I was a bigger linebacker and a guy that can run pretty well. So they looked at it as an opportunity for, okay, we have two beefy tackles in front. If we can cover this guy up and just let him run inside onto the ball, he's going to, 9 times out of 10, make a lot of tackles and help his defense. And that's what I was able to do by having those guys up in front of me, keeping me pretty clean, just run sideline to sideline and make a lot of plays.
And did you feel personally that your transition, how did you feel when you moved to the middle? Because I imagine it's a lot different. You got bullets going off everywhere.
Let me answer this one for him, because I know him really well. Napoleon probably felt like he could play quarterback. If it came down to it, if you needed him at quarterback, you needed
he's
him
your man, eh?
He's your man. He could do anything. But, Poe, I know you own several Beggar's Pizzas out in Arizona. You're a great entrepreneur, actor, model. You're doing it all. What, I mean, I know you watched the draft last night. I know you had it on the big screens at Beggar's Pizza there in Harvey as well as Orland Park. But what surprised you? What were some surprises, because I value your opinion. What were some surprises from last night?
I think the biggest surprise, of last night is Tim Tebow going to Denver Broncos.
Join in on that one.
And that is not a knock on Tim Tebow. I think Tim Tebow is going to be an excellent quarterback at the next level. I think because his work ethic alone is going to get
hold
him.
Hold on, Poe. Hold on.
Respectfully disagreeing, but go ahead. Everybody's entitled to those opinions.
You said excellent quarterback, Poe.
I think Tim Tebow is going to do well at the next level. I really do. Seeing his progress from the Senior Bowl to now, I think he's a guy that's going to work hard and he's determined to make it. And I think sometimes what gets a guy going and what makes a guy be successful is the criticism and the skeptics. And I think he has a lot of that right now because of the high level of success he's had in college. The only problem with that is Denver now has a tremendous quarterback controversy. Tebow's going to sell a lot of jerseys because he's well known across the country, winning the Heisman Trophy.
He's a Messiah, but he's going to get sacrificed. I call him, Poe, I call him the Messiah, but he's going to get sacrificed. And unfortunately, not for the right reason, because Poe, this is my thing. You talked about improvements, and me and you will go back and forth. That's how college was. That's just what we do.
Sure.
Tim Tebow, I get it. You know what it took when you had to go to the Senior Bowl. You had to show your ass. You had to go there and perform right now. What I mean? Amongst the best of the best, and that's what you did. Tim Tebow went there and did not do that. And don't get me wrong, you could show in front of a camera and pass the ball with the perfect, arm motion, the perfect, delivery and all those things. I personally feel, if you look at it, Urban Meyer protected Tim Tebow as he did with Alex Smith, manipulated defenses, and they both should give him half of their checks to Urban Meyer because that's what he did. Because you look at their transition, Alex Smith has not made a good transition. Nope. And I think that Tim Tebow has great heart, great intangibles. Everything that you're saying is the truth. And I really do want this kid to prove me wrong. However, I just feel like that transition to the next game, it was so clear and evident that he didn't even belong at the Senior Bowl.
He didn't, in my opinion, as well. When I saw him perform, and that's the best.
Right, exactly.
We're talking about the kids that are not even better than the people who are already playing in the NFL. But they were the best on the college level.
And, Poe, you stood out amongst, you stood out amongst a team of not that many great players. Tim Tebow, he stood out amongst the best, and that was because he had the best around him.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Poe, you would go into a Florida and you would still probably be the best linebacker, the first overall linebacker taken that year. But Tim Tebow could not go without Urban Meyer come to Northwestern and still be Tim Tebow. He had Percy Harvin. He had the best defense in the league. He had
Hernandez.
He had all those guys around him that made him better.
But more importantly, was the scheme.
Exactly.
In addition to that, and they used the exact same scheme when they were at Utah.
That's what I'm saying.
And so we know the scheme allows him to be successful because what they do is they create mismatches. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, and I know you know this too, Napoleon,
probably
is that
the same
you
reason.
Don't have 85 scholarships. So you don't get to hoard all the talent. You're going to have a limited number of people that you're going to be able to put on the field.
Paul, I'll just make a great analogy. Just imagine, you know, we were the number two offense in the country when we played. You know, at Northwest, Zach Kustak, myself, Teddy Johnson, Sam Simmons, all those guys. We did it huge. Just imagine have Florida. Not that we weren't. I'm not even going to say that I think that we were very talented, but you and I could both have this honest conversation that Florida has a lot better athletes than Northwestern did. Just imagine our offense with that firepower. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Exactly.
Off the hook. It is.
You know what I'm saying? Imagine your defense with 10 other Napoleon Harrises on the defense. How effective would you guys be?
I definitely agree. I agree with the statement is that, you know, it was definitely a product of a system. But, however, I agree that the system that's in place in Denver, I think Josh McDaniels is going to put into place a system or set plays just for Tim Tebow that's going to be effective for the Denver offense.
All right, but, Paul, but can't you realize that, I mean, can't you agree that the fact that, yeah, you could protect him to a certain extent, but when it comes down to, like you're saying, when he makes those plays like he did when, who was the quarterback of Florida before? Leak.
Chris Leak.
Right. Chris Leak.
Was Tim Tebow, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, but what I'm trying to say is when you implement him in certain plays, when he becomes successful, and then you start to, everybody wants him, it becomes more than just a certain package. And then all those weaknesses that he has are going to get exploited, like the slow delivery, the accuracy, the arm strength, all those things are going to get, yeah, he could be tough, but when you got 280-pound dudes coming at you running a 4-3, you can't be tough for so long. You saw how he got knocked out against
Kentucky.
That's going to happen. That could virtually happen every play. You know what I mean? Being a physical, strong, that doesn't transfer over to the next level. I don't care how strong, how tough you are. Donovan used to run all the time when he was a rookie. He don't run no more.
And forgive me, the late Steve McNair got his remember, he got his sternum fractured.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, he certainly has to change his game. I think we all can agree with that. He's not going to be able to play with the same type of abandon that he played in the system at Florida when he was, one, usually the best athlete, and two, a lot larger than a lot of people he was playing against.
Right.
I can't imagine he would make it through an entire season having a matchup with defenses like the Baltimore Ravens with Ray Lewis, and individuals even like yourself when you were playing Napoleon, continuously and constantly hunting him and hitting him game in, game out. It's no way. The reason why we have running backs is because we want him to do or them to do what Tim Tebow was doing in college.
Right.
That we do not want a quarterback.
You don't
want
to spend that money on him
to get
hurt.
I'm not doing that. I'm not. And again, I'm of the opinion, I'm like Damian, and I'm certainly like you. I would like to see the young man successful because there's no reason anyway for us to hate on him.
Right,
I don't have any dog in the fight.
No,
so
right.
I just want to see him be successful.
But I just can't justify spending that much money.
I can't justify a first-round pick.
On Tim Tebow.
Hey, I'd like to ask you this, though, Napoleon. What are your impressions of Rolando McClain? He was the first linebacker taken.
You know what? I've seen him play a couple times, you know, throughout the course of college football. I definitely think he's a good football player, but I thought that was a little high.
I did, too.
A linebacker. I didn't think he justified being taken with the eighth pick of the draft.
I got to agree with you. I thought they could have gotten him maybe later. You know, the Giants really wanted him, and I think they drafted more in the double digits, maybe even in teens. I thought he was worthy of a teen pick as opposed to, you know, an eight pick. But then if you think about it, it is the Raiders.
So, Pope, I hope you can wait on the line. We got to go to a break. Hold that thought. We're going to come after the break. We got Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network. Judge, you want to bless the show when we go to break?
Wet that palate and flow, baby.
Yeah, come on.
Let's go.
We got another 30 for you. Phoenix's own.
Everything.
The Judge.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Check it. Look, all I need is respect. This might offend my Arizona connects. Look, cause in my city I'm the best. I ain't met a rapper out here hotter than me yet. Look, my flow nice, really wild. I need to start working on my frizzy style. Why? I treat this rap like boxing. When haters get to popping, I block them twice, Philly style. Look, this ain't my number one record. The kid doing this while I'm just microphone checking. Digi's Designs Deadly Weapon. Chosen One mixtape, this is the first session. Boy, I'm on like a 6 o'clock street light. I'm throwing two times the punches in a street fight. Vocal fire on the track, it's no helping it. Third degree burns at 1,000 degrees Celsius. So what
That's
the heck
hot.
I gotta
That's
do today? A rich dude in these L.E. Louis frames. I stay fly like a G4 plane. So I fly coast to coast in them new loafers that Louis
That's
made.
Enough, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. Planet Gridiron Radio will be back with more. Damian Anderson, Dave Lockhart, The Judge. and Northwestern Zone, Napoleon Harris.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
Aye,
I'm starting,
hey,
I'm bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Gridiron, where we have Phoenix's own, the judge, former first-round draft pick and Northwestern University star, Napoleon Harris, as well as myself, and always the resident. He knows everything, and definitely football, Dave Lockhart. So we were when we went to break, obviously, Judge blessed us with another, I don't even know what that, 4,200 bar.
Spit fire.
Yeah,
that's
spit
all
fire.
He's spitting fire.
before we went to break, but we also got, we were talking about the Rolando McClain argument. And Paul, you had, Napoleon Harris, you had some thoughts about that?
Yeah, I'd say for a linebacker to be taking that high, for what I understand, he ran a 4.7 at the combine. Just, you know, historically, linebackers that go in the first round at least ran a 4.6. I don't see, you know, you taking a guy that high if he's not going to be a three-down player, you know, playing on first, second, and third down. I mean, he's probably an excellent guy playing the run. I believe that's why the Raiders selected him and picking him that high, because they need help in their run defense, because I believe they finished between – over the last 5-6 years, between 27 and 32 against the run. So
right,
they definitely need an improvement there. However, picking a guy like that, I think you could have picked a guy like him maybe later on, or traded out the pick, or just picked a better need, someone, because I know they let go Gerald Warren, so you need help on the defensive line. But a guy like Rolando McClain, I mean, he could turn out to be a good football player, but I just don't see him being able to cover guys at the backfield. You know?
So it's not that you have an argument whether or not he's a good player or worthy of the first round. It sounds to me that you're saying that's just a little bit too high for that type
exactly.
of player that's basically a two-down, a linebacker.
Exactly. I'm just thinking it was probably a little too high to pick a guy that high. You know, I think you could have definitely got a better value for your pick than picking a linebacker that high.
So, Poe, and I, you talking about linebackers? I mean, a lot of teams are doing. They're getting that hybrid type defensive end in college and moving them to that linebacker position. How do you feel like that translates? Do you think there's a huge learning curve? I mean, obviously you're a Northwestern guy. I wouldn't say that you're different than any other football players, but you know you are, and you were able to pick that middle linebacker and be the captain of that defense. But how do you think that does it take away from any of the players' athleticism when they have to make that transition from a defensive end to a linebacker position?
I think it does to an extent, depending on how much the player is dropping versus how much the player is rushing. Mm-hmm. I mean, some guys are just better at rushing the passer, and when they get these bigger guys like defensive ends and they put them at the outside linebacker in the 3-4 system, I think those guys are more equipped to rush the passer and have a better skill set at rushing the passer than dropping out in coverage. So it's going to take them a little adjustment to probably get their pass coverage down a little bit better, but they're going to be great assets with rushing against more times than often a tight end or an open side end. So, I mean, they're going to have great success doing that.
That would be like Brian Rorocpo, right, that came out this past year. He seemed to have done quite well, and obviously he made the Pro Bowl.
But all he does is rush.
So correct. That's all they did.
He's basically playing defensive end again.
Absolutely.
And plays the same position. But, you know, Poe actually came off the ground. But, you know, Poe, you went as a linebacker at Northwestern. You started there. You played there, weak side linebacker. You went to defensive end. You just one summer, you just gained 45 pounds and grew 3 inches. I don't know where that came from, but you know what happened. But I just want to ask you a question, because what bothers me I am a Northwestern guy, so I always root for the underdog, and I necessarily don't see us as an underdog, but, you know, we have yet to be that consistent team that continues to put guys and, you know, drafting guys high. What do you think that is? Because it just seemed like, I was talking to one of the coaches on staff, I won't say his name, but he just said they don't see our guys as football players, they see them as, you know, businessmen. And do you think what needs to change for us to, when we, you know, because we live in, you know, we met at the same age, but we live and slept and drank football. What do you think could change that?
I think the only thing that's going to change that stigma about Northwestern, because it's considered a book school, is to consistently, year in and year out, have good football season. And the only way to do that is to recruit the best of the best athletes. And be honest, man, you have to, I'm not going to say change the criteria, but you have to some way level the playing field.
I think we got to get a couple guys arrested.
And then you need some juvenile histories, as I call it.
you don't need that. But I think you just need to get some more. I think you need to more so probably recruit inner cities a little bit harder and get guys who maybe not as qualified to make it to come to Northwestern initially. But once you get in, I mean, they have the systems in place for you to get the tutoring and get your lesson and do the things you need to do to be successful. So I think that's what they need to do, win on a consistent basis. And I think Northwestern will finally start to get the respect that it deserves as a Big Ten school.
I got you, Poe. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show as always. But you're doing, you know, you got your Beggar's Pizzas in Harvey as well as Orland Park. But you got some radio stuff coming up. Would you share that before you go?
Yeah, I'm starting a radio show here in Chicago. Sunday nights is going to be Napoleon Harris Sports Unplugged. It's going to be like the post-game analysis or the Monday morning quarterbacking, so to speak, to primarily the Bears game. But we're going to talk everything football and sports, just like you guys doing out there on the West Coast. So be looking out for it. It's going to be on Power 92, on 92.3 here in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area.
Appreciate you, Poe, man.
Hey, pleasure speaking with you, man. God bless and good luck.
All right, man. Have a good
one. All right, thank you for having me.
So, Judge, we're back with Judge Phoenix's own. You done blessed the show pretty hard, bro. I won't ask you to go again because you're definitely doing your thing. So remind people where they can get a hold of you at.
Man, you can go to www.hypocalypto. That's hypocalypto.com. Or you can get at my Twitter at Judge the Boss, JudgeDaBoss. It's my Twitter and MySpace, myspace.com/AZILLA Judge.
Got you. So that's with us. That's for the Planet Gridiron Radio. That's the show. That's a wrap, Dave. That's a wrap, bro. It was a great show.
Yes, sir.
Doing it real big. So we got to go to our Strength of America clip of the day. I just want to say thank everybody for listening. We'll have a recap next week of everything sports and always football.
And we're out.
Hello, Planet Gridiron. Bob Davis here again with the Strength of America Speed and Agility Minute. What I want to talk to you today about is primarily for our quarterbacks and receivers. We tend to spend a lot of time in the weight room working our big power muscles with the bench and the squat and power cleans, but we often neglect the smaller muscles that help keep our athletes healthy and in the sport longer. Primarily, I'm talking about our shoulders, and more specific, the rotator cuff. They tend to spend a lot of time throwing the ball, and our receivers catching, extending their body out long when they land on the ground, oftentimes with their arms out. That's when these injuries happen to the rotator cuff. So two primary flexibility exercises we're going to do today are the rotator cuff stretch and the chest stretch. Now, I'll show you how to do these with a partner and by yourself in the videos on the website. But to do this rotator cuff by yourself, you're going to hold on to a broomstick or a bat in your left hand behind the back, down low, just above your waist. And with your right hand, you're going to grab up behind the head to grab the top of that bat or broomstick. You're going to straighten that right arm up above the head so it draws the left hand up between the shoulder blades. We're going to hold on to that for 20 to 30 seconds. The chest stretch, you're going to grab into a doorway or the fence with your right hand. Turn yourself away from the fence so your chest is away from it, your back is exposed to the fence. Walking your feet as you turn to get that good stretch. Now with a partner, they would just stand behind you, holding onto the wrist with both hands. Pull them gently back toward each other. Don't crank it hard. We don't want to tear anything. But pulling that in nice and tight and lifting a little bit to get that good stretch. To see both of these videos and learn more about protecting the rotator cuff, head on over to planetgridiron.com. Take a look at the knowledge page. Select the Strength of America button to see the video and learn more about training, preparing for the sport. Or head on over to strengthofamerica.us, our website. Select the Training Corner page and football to learn more about these drills and other strength exercises as well. Remember to train hard, but more importantly, train smart.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.